I'm Tony Alessandra, and welcome to People IQ, where we focus on applying the Platinum Rule in your business and personal life. The most important step toward raising your People IQ and practicing the Platinum Rule is to adapt your behavior to treat others the way they want and need to be treated. Today, we're talking about expanding your vision and ideas to help you positively influence others. A kindergarten teacher asked a student what she was drawing. The student said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher said, "But sweetheart, no one knows what God looks like." The child replied, "They will in a minute." And this is a story according to Sheila Murray Bethel in her book, Making a Difference. Charismatic people possess a similar, almost childlike faith in their vision and their ability to create change. People will follow a leader whose vision inspires them and makes their lives more meaningful. Warren Bennis, author of the best-selling book, Leaders, says that being able to articulate your vision in a way that's easily understood, desirable, and energizing is the spark of leadership genius. In this program, you'll learn about the famous and the not so famous who have had great impact because of their ideas and their fervor for them. We'll talk about the process most of these people went through to shape their vision and how you can do the same, thus maximizing your power to influence other people. What do you feel passionately about? What do you really care deeply about? Whatever your objective, whether it's ending world hunger or ensuring better care for stray animals, you'll never influence anyone to change their ideas or take action if you don't feel strongly about it yourself. How do you get such passionate vision? Well, the process probably varies somewhat from person to person, but for starters, a common denominator is recognizing what I call the need gap. That's the gap between what is and what could be. This disparity is the breeding ground for vision. This ability to see deficiencies in existing situations and act on them is one of the skills that separates the charismatic leader from just a manager or an administrator. The manager can make the buses run on time, but the charismatic leader sees the need for whole new routes, or maybe even whole new modes of transportation. Consider Bill W. and Dr. Bob. They started out in the 1950s in a small Midwest steel town with nothing but their own shattered lives and an idea. They founded Alcoholics Anonymous. The simplicity of its 12-step program with its credo of love and service was a vision that has changed millions of lives. Or take Carl Stoetz, an almost penniless Williamsport, Pennsylvania baseball fan who during the Depression liked to play ball with his two young nephews. As historian Gary Wills recounts in his book, Certain Trumpets, Stoetz wondered why the boys had to use clumsy grown-up gloves and swing a bat that was far too big for them and do an imaginary play-by-play broadcast. So he acted on his vision. He found an unused lot and devised the dimensions of a kid-sized field. He asked around for other boys to play and other men to coach or maybe umpire. He went to 56 companies before he found one willing to cough up the $30 it took to field a youth team in 1938. He then persuaded local sports writers to cover the early games and recruited friends, relatives, and even fellow volunteers to build bleachers, embroider team names on uniforms, and perform dozens of other tasks. His modest concept grew into, you probably guessed it by now, Little League. Welcome back to People IQ. I'm Tony Alessandra, and we're talking about expanding your vision and ideas. I think there's three stages to arriving at a vision that will help make you a more influential person. The first is your defining moment. That's when, as the saying goes, the light bulb goes on. Something clicks in your skull. You realize you're onto something really exciting. Several years ago, for example, it occurred to Robert L. Johnson, a black businessman who worked for the National Cable Television Association, that someone was going to target black media consumers. He later said, "I figured, why not me?" An associate described Johnson this way. He's the kind of person who is able to create a vision or an idea of what he wants to accomplish, and once he has, he's fantastic at persuading other business people to support him. Johnson's BET Holdings, Inc., that stands for Black Entertainment Television, aims to be to African-American consumers what the Walt Disney Company is to families in general. And already, BET reaches over 75 million households. Meanwhile, Johnson is transferring the BET brand into magazines, radio, film, film production, electronic retailing, and other interests, all from Robert Johnson's idea that there was a need for black programming and his "why not me" approach. Not every idea that you have will be a breakthrough or a defining moment. Your idea might be, at least initially, exciting to you. But to qualify as visionary, an idea must appeal to the values and needs of the people that you're seeking to influence. A big part of being charismatic is the chemistry between the leader and the led. So, you'll have little luck in the long term if you merely have a solution in search of a problem. The Edsel automobile, the new Coca-Cola, the rush to get the United States to adopt the metric system for all its measurements, these were all ideas somebody had. But they were ideas that did not fill a widespread need. Molly Weitzel's defining moment came after much work and worry. A business consultant and single mother in Berkeley, California, she watched helplessly as her once middle-class neighborhood fell into decay. A house nearby, owned by an absentee landlord, had become a haven for prostitutes, drug dealers, and other criminals. Her teenage daughter could not walk down the street without getting solicited for sex, and her young son was robbed of 75 cents at gunpoint. For 18 months, she and her neighbors appealed to police and local politicians, but to no avail. Then one day, she read an article about a California appellate court decision that declared small claims court to be a proper place for settling disputes involving complex social issues. That was her defining moment. She knew the need, and she knew it very well. And now she knew the answer. Though she had no legal background, she soon corralled 18 neighbors, ranging in age from 3 to 65. And together, they sued the absentee property owner for destroying the neighborhood. They won. Wetzel and the neighbors were awarded $2,000 each. And within 2 weeks, the property owner had evicted the drug dealers. Thus was born Safe Streets Now, a nonprofit organization Wetzel formed to help other neighborhoods fight crime by using small claims courts or the threat of lawsuits. Though she lacked an impressive title or backing of a large organization, Molly Wetzel believed strongly in what she was offering. She could explain how it filled a need and was willing to work hard to develop the idea. What do you need to do to get anything significant accomplished? I'll share that secret with you when we return. Welcome back. What's the secret to accomplishing great things? To get anything significant accomplished, you must see the need, as well as work hard, possess energy, and demonstrate drive. But to truly influence others, you also need a mission. That's the second stage of fashioning a vision. It's what gives purpose, context, and stamina to your defining moment. It isn't enough just to come up with a mission statement that merely sounds good or looks sharp on paper or in an annual report, though that's a start. Instead, to be effective, your mission has got to come from your heart. It's got to grow out of a sense of what's important in your life and in your world. The deeper your passion for the mission, the more it will attract others. The most effective missions involve helping others. Leaders are more likely to be viewed as charismatic if they make self-sacrifices, take personal risks, and incur high costs to achieve the vision they espouse, according to Gary Yokel, a student of charisma and author of Leadership in Organizations. Trust appears to be an important component of charisma, and followers have more trust in a leader who advocates a strategy in a manner reflecting concerns for followers rather than self-interest. Thus, Bill W. and Dr. Bob weren't just helping themselves. They were helping alcoholics everywhere redeem themselves. With Molly Wetzel, her mission was making a lot of neighborhoods more livable, not just hers. Often, it's acquiring that mission that catapults people into a leadership role, that puts them in a position to exercise personal power. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak didn't start up Apple Computer just to make money or to make people more efficient. Their mission was to develop a user-friendly machine that would revolutionize people's lives. Their sense of purpose propelled them to perform brilliantly. Candy Leitner's defining moment came in 1980 when her daughter, Carrie, was killed by a drunk driver. Her anger soon turned to her mission, a burning desire to do something about such wasteful tragedies. Within a few days, she held a meeting with a few friends, and that was the beginning of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, better known as MAD. Today, it's one of the most powerful citizen groups in the world. MAD has spawned hundreds of new laws against drunk driving in all 50 states. Candy Leitner had no position power when she began. Yet, she is living proof of Andrew Jackson's famous epigram, "One man with courage makes a majority," or in this case, one woman. Second, probably none of them set out saying to themselves, "I'm going to be a leader with a mission." Instead, their mission kind of evolved from what they were doing at work or at home, or even in their spare time. And then it grew and inspired others. Now, if your mission coincides with your occupation, that's great. But if it doesn't, that may be okay too. You may work as an engineer, for example, but spend your free time as an amateur pilot flying doctors into third world countries. Or you may have an aging, infirm parent, and that may motivate you to get involved in seniors programs. A common characteristic of many of the best missions is that they were created to serve other people. Keep in mind that followers of a charismatic person must have a cause, a reason that bonds them to the leader. And to be enticing, that cause has to be bigger than just the leader. So, choosing to try to make a difference in even a small way is helpful and important, as well as noble. We can all look outside ourselves as we try to figure out our life's purpose. And looking outside ourselves will not only help us fashion a mission, but it will also help draw people to us and enhance our influence. Having a defining moment and a mission will only get you so far. You've got to transform those thoughts and that philosophy into action. You do that by setting and accomplishing goals. You must not only believe that you have a better sales plan, a better way to run a school board, a better solution for reducing health care costs, an environmentally friendly mousetrap, or whatever you have. You've also got to figure out how you're going to accomplish your mission. So to bring your vision to reality, you need to present a strategy that seems reasonable and attractive. That's the third step in creating and giving life to a vision. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about this very important third step to creating and giving life to a vision. So stay tuned. I'm Tony Alessandra, and I'm talking about expanding your vision and ideas. Let's talk about the difference between a goal and a mission. A goal differs from a mission. A mission is long-term, usually, in fact, lifelong. But a goal is more time-bound, existing only to be achieved. The temptation is to set goals too low. Most people choose not to have high standards. But only by aspiring to be the best will you achieve high levels of success. An athlete may not want to raise the bar for fear of failure, but peak performers guard against this mindset. Real champions know that failing with an excuse is simply not as good as succeeding. Only the best practice when they don't feel like it or when it's inconvenient, says Peter Vidmar, a gold medal winning gymnast. He goes on to say, I made a clear list of objectives that I had to accomplish every day in the gym. If my workout lasted 3 hours, great. If the workout lasted 6 hours, tough luck. I would not leave without accomplishing my objectives. My daily goal was to leave knowing that I had done everything that I could. See, striving for and attaining goals makes life meaningful. Goals create drive and positively affect your ability to influence other people, but only if you set yourself to achieving those goals in a proper manner. One trick for reaching your goals is knowing how to break larger tasks into smaller ones. Or, as is sometimes said, you can eat an elephant, but only by taking one bite at a time. I use the word chunking to describe this process. For instance, when I landed a contract to write my first book, Non-Manipulative Selling, I had 6 months to write it. So on my to-do list, every day of those 6 months was write book. Well, 6 months went by, no book. The publisher gave me another 3 months. For 3 more months, write book appeared daily on my to-do list. Still no book. Finally, the publisher gave me a final 3 months, or else I'd lose the contract. Fortunately, Carl Albrecht, author of Service America, gave me the concept of chunking. He asked me how many pages I had to write. My answer, 180 pages. He then asked, how many days did I have to write it? My answer, 90 days. So he told me that every day on my to-do list, I should contain this particular note, write 2 pages of the book. So I must write 2 pages. If I got on a roll, I could write 4 or 5 pages. But the very next day, I still had to write a minimum of 2 pages. By following his advice, I finished the book in 30 days. A final technique for managing your goals comes from Dr. John Lee, time management expert. He says, when faced with a task, apply one of the four D's. Drop it, delegate it, delay it, or do it. Consciously choosing one of those strategies every time you face a task will keep things progressing smoothly. Sheila Murray Bethel, who I mentioned earlier, says there are three major roadblocks to building what she calls a mission that matters. First, thinking that you're too old or too young or too anything to have a mission. Second, putting off getting started. And third, doing nothing because you feel you can do so little. So there, that's the challenge. Get started on creating your mission, whatever it might be. As Helen Keller, sightless but inspirational to so many, once said, I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it's my chief duty to accomplish small tasks as if they were great and noble. For People IQ, I'm Tony Alessandro.